psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So there is no better place to be on a Sunday than to be in church. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, especially in the days that we are living in, people are busy with so many things, and we are forgetting that the Lord is coming back. And we are here just for a time being. The Lord is coming back. And even when you hear a lot of people passing away and others still had this to do, others still had those plans, just reminds us that we are here for a time. And when you are here for such a time as this, you've got to live in a way that pleases God. In a way that when the Lord comes back, he will be able to say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Amen.
Amen.
Well done, you good and faithful servant. I'm going to just give an introduction on what we're going to talk about today by starting to... I will just give you an illustration. When God created us, when God created people, when God created human beings, he created us to worship him. He created us to praise him. But he also created us so that we may enjoy life in this earth. You know what happened when Satan deceived Adam and Eve? And all of a sudden things changed? You know that? But can I remind you that even though Satan deceived Adam and Eve, and sin entered the world, death entered the world, calamities entered the world, sickness entered the world, all the bad things that you can think about, God still said, I still want my people to enjoy the fullness of the life that I had in store for them. That's why Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he says, but I have come that you may have life and enjoy it to the full. So for me, it says, I can still live on this earth as if I'm in heaven. Because even when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is able to lift up a standard against him. When challenges come, they are there to be overcome. When challenges come, they are there to be defeated. And if you look at how God dealt with the children of Israel, I want us to start with the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Because what I want you to look at this, that when he was working with the children of Israel, he always gave them a choice between a blessing and a curse. But he would say, I urge you to choose a blessing. You are given a choice between life and death, and he says, I urge you to choose life. Amen. So going to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 7, from verse 7 in the King James Version, I'll read it going down, and then I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. So it says, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore, you shall keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land where you go to possess it. Verse 9. And that you may prolong your days in the land. So I want, when we are going through this, I want to show you things that God intends for his people. Even in this fallen world, he still has good plans for us. Amen. You know, he says, I know the plans that I have for you.
Yes.
Plans not to harm you. Plans to prosper you and give you an expected ending. So it means even though the enemy is there, God still has his purpose about our lives. So one, he says, and that you may prolong your days in the land, which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed. A land that flows with milk and honey. You see, what he intends for his people. For the land whether thou goest in to possess is not a land of Egypt from whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Now, verse 12. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. So the Lord cares for my land. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. So I want you, as I'm going through these things, just to remind you that even after man had fallen, even after Adam and Eve fell, God still has good plans for his people. But now he wants to teach us how we can enjoy that good life of blessing in him, even in this world. Verse 14, that I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for the cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. You can see provision there. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, but that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from off the land, the good land which the Lord giveth you. So he talks about a good land which the Lord gives you. 18. Therefore, thou shalt lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. You see, one of the things that you must do, you lay the word of God in your heart and in your soul, so that all these things that we're going to talk about, you might enjoy them. And bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Verse 19. And you shall teach them, your children. Okay, today we'll also have baby dedication. So it's good that we're also told, when we are now knowing how things can be with God, how I can enjoy life with God, I also teach my children that they may walk in these ways, that they may also benefit in this which God says. Speaking with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. That thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. Verse 21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children. I want multiplied days. Tell your neighbor, I want multiplied days. And even my children, I want them to live long. It says that you might multiply your days and those of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. That is the thing that I want you to check. Did you see that in the King James? It says, as the days of heaven, where? Is it possible? Huh? Days of heaven, where? Upon the earth. That's why when we pray, we say, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we can have days of heaven on earth. But he tells us how to do it. Make sure that you keep that law, the word of God, in your heart. Then you may have days of heaven upon the earth. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you today to do them. To do what? To love the Lord your God. You know that's the first commandment with a promise. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what we're doing the past 2 or 3 weeks, talking about how much I love God. So it says that you may love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, that's obedience, and to cleave unto him. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations, mightier than yourselves. Verse 24. Every place where upon the soles of your foot shall tread shall be yours. Amen. You know that was told Joshua also. But here the children of Israel are told the same thing. And I believe God tells us the same thing. Amen. You can still have all the things that you are still aspiring for in God. You can have them. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost parts of the sea shall your coast be. Verse 25. There shall no man be able to stand before you. You know, many people think they are not succeeding because of so-and-so is standing before me. Yeah, people are jealous of me. People are standing before me. My boss, this. Witch, wizards, this. Whatever, this. Says, there shall no man be able to stand before you. How can they stand before you when the Almighty is on your side? Amen. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Did you get that? Verse 27. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside of the out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Okay. So he says there is a blessing and there is a curse. What do you think comes from God and what do you think comes from the devil? A blessing should come from my master, isn't it? Should come from God. The Bible says in the book of James, it says every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from our master, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. But when we are in this earth, there is also something called a curse. Okay? All the calamities, all the bad things. That's why I said the Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So there are these two things, a blessing and a curse. So today I want us to talk about living a blessed life on earth. Amen. 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 Knowing that there is a blessing and a curse, but I can live a blessed life on earth, even if the devil is still there, even if the thief is out there, even if, because the Lord my God, his intention when he created me, he created me for his glory, he created us to worship and praise him, but he created us also to have and enjoy life. That's what Jesus said in John 10:10. He said, I have come that they might have and enjoy life.
Amen.
Amen. So today when we're going to have baby dedication, I just want to pick some few things for you before we do the dedication so that you may understand the importance of a blessing. The importance of a blessing. Because some of you, you think most things you will achieve them by how hard you work, by how hard you do this, how hard you do that, how hard you do that. But some of us we achieve by the grace and favor of God.
Amen.
Amen? By depending on God. By letting God be my source and my everything. By having his blessing upon my life. You remember the other time I told you, especially in the African context, there are a lot of things that in with the spiritual connection that they know about. You know that in the African context, they can cast a spell on you in a way that wherever you go, whether you go to Gauteng or wherever, that thing follows you. And things just, whatever you do falls apart. Things don't work out. So it means if people on the evil side can make some things that will keep on following you wherever you go, don't you think God can make sure that the blessing follows me wherever I go?
Amen.
That wherever I go, I'm blessed and highly favored. That when things were not supposed to work out for everybody, but because I'm there, things start working out.
Amen.
That's why even when we talk about a blessing, whether it's blessing of a child, whether it's blessing of whatever, you are pronouncing the Lord's favor. That things may be well. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody who understood the importance of a blessing. I'll give it to you that example. In the Old Testament, it was Jacob. Do you know Jacob? Okay. I'll give you three things in Jacob's life that just showed how he understood the blessing. So it seems with Joseph, Even if you didn't give him a lot of money or a lot of inheritance, if you could give him a blessing, he knew that with a blessing I can have everything.
Amen.
The problem with most of people are looking for things instead of saying, if I'm blessed, I've got the source, so the resources will flow out of that. So go with me to the book of Genesis. Chapter 27, we won't read all of it, but for you writing notes, you do Genesis 27 from 21 to 38. This was the time when, okay, Jacob was not the firstborn. Okay? Did you know that? Jacob was not the firstborn. Who was the firstborn? Esau. These are the sons of Isaac. So in those days, the father would always want to bestow a blessing upon the firstborn so that things may be well with the firstborn and the firstborn may always be lifted up and be a ruler. Now, Jacob knew that I'm not the firstborn, but I want a blessing. Okay, how he went about doing it, we may not condone that, but I like the spirit of saying, I need a blessing. Daddy, I need... You see, in our days, many people usually are asking the will. Did the old man write a will? Did he include me in the will? Yes, the will could be fine, but I think if you have a blessing,
Amen.
You've got everything.
Amen.
Your life is made up. So, he figured out. Firstly, he cheated the elder brother for birthright. You remember... He made the elder brother to say, I'm no longer the elder brother, you are the elder brother. When he cheated him with the food. You remember that story? And I think he knew what he was doing. He knew that if I can be positioned as the elder brother, then when it's time for blessing, who should receive the blessing?
Me.
But then, that didn't seem to click anything to the father and the mother. So you know, when it was the time to bless, Isaac says to Esau, my firstborn son, go and get me that good game, the game, so that you can kill it and prepare for me that nice food that I like so that I can bless you. And the mother overheard that. But because the mother loved Jacob, the younger brother, she then tipped the younger brother when the elder brother was gone to look for the game. You know the story. And then she said, your brother is going to be blessed, but I think you should get the blessing. So they had a problem because Esau was hairy. Okay? He had a lot of hair on his arms and everywhere. And Jacob was not. So they wanted, because the old man was not able to see well, at that time, they wanted to cheat the old man and say, let's make you to be like you are Esau. You know the whole story when they slaughtered the animal and then put the, made him almost put on the skin of the animal. And I think they had thought it well because the old man, when Jacob went there and said, I'm Esau, I'm your son, I'm back. The old man realized the voice doesn't sound like it's Esau's voice. Then he said, come close to me. So he thought, I'll catch him. I may not be able to see, but I can still feel. You know the story. So I'm not reading it, but I'm telling you the story. Is that Genesis 27 from 21 to 38. So he said, come close to me. And actually Jacob had already said beforehand, he said, if my father finds out that I'm not Esau, then I'll get a curse instead of a blessing. So we are playing a risky game here. Then he said, come near. And when he went near, the father, the first thing that he did is he touched. Oh, this feels like Esau. But the voice, it's not Esau's voice. But anyway, it should be Esau. Then he pronounced a blessing on him. When he pronounced a blessing on him, he was empowering him to succeed. He was saying, I may not have written a will for you, my son, but as I pronounce this blessing upon you, things will be well with you. So, I'll read from verse 28. So he is now blessing. And he says, may God give you of the dew of heavens and of the fatness of the earth and abundance of grain and new wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. He's speaking words. You know, in faith we speak words. We create with words. Those words were not idle words. So he says, that nations may bow down to you. Be master over your brothers and let your mother's sons bow to you. Let everyone be cursed who curses you and favored with blessings who blesses you. I like this. Did you see that? Verse 29. Let everyone who bless you be blessed. And let everyone who curses you be cursed. What is he using? Words. That's what we do in faith. We speak words. So these words were as powerful as done. So he says, let everyone who curses you be cursed. And everyone who favored you with blessings be blessed. So you need to know the people who are blessed, you cannot curse them. When you curse them, you are cursing yourself. Okay? So you rather be in good books with the blessed people. Because he says, those who bless you will be blessed. And those who curse you will be cursed. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob was scarcely gone out of his presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came from hunting. Esau had also prepared savory food and brought it to his father and said to him, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said to him, who are you? And he replied, I am your firstborn son, Esau. Look, verse 33. Then Isaac trembled and shook violently. And he said, who? Where is he who has hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate of it all before you came, and I've blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with a great cry and a bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also. How many of you can desire the blessing of the Lord like that? Bless me, even me also, oh my father. Isaac said, your brother came with crafty cunning and treacherous deceit and has taken your blessing. Esau replied, is he not rightly named Jacob the supplanter? For he has supplanted me these two times. For he took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. Have you not still a blessing reserved for me? And Isaac answered Esau, behold, I have made Jacob your lord and master. I've given him all his brethren to be his servants. And with corn and wine, I've sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, oh my father. And Esau lifted up his voice. He could not control his voice and wept aloud. I want you to look at this and understand that these people understood the importance of a blessing. Here he was not crying for the wealth of the father. He was not crying. He was crying for what? For a blessing. Now, you find that even in the days we're living in, people take things simply. You've got a child. The child just grow up like it's a small bird. You know the birds? The birds have got their cheeks and they just continue life. But as a child, you need to have that blessing, the favor of God bestowed upon you, pronounced upon your life. Even when Jesus was on the earth, you remember when the parents brought their children to Jesus to bless them, to pronounce favor upon them. So now, you see what happened with Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. But Jacob now continues. Go with me to Genesis chapter 32, verse 26. Amplified Classic. He says, then he said, it was the time when, okay. So Jacob was really running after blessing, that in everything he did, it was about blessing. You remember he cheated the elder son of the birthright? He did that thing now of the blessing and cheated, and then he got the blessing. Now, as if that's not enough, He comes across this angel or this man of God who came and appeared to him. Then he was wrestling with him for a blessing. Wrestling with him for a blessing. So Genesis 32, 26, Amplified Classic. Then he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. That was that man or the angel. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon my life. I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me. Some of you, you think, it's fine even if I don't have a blessing. It's very important to have a blessing. May the blessing of the Lord be with each one of you. May his favor, because when I have his blessing, I've got my life made up. Okay, I checked that word blessing in original Hebrew. I've got a Hebrew Bible and a Greek Bible just to check some few things. So that word bless, okay, it's got, there are two important meanings. There are others related to that. It's the word barak. The first one is the word barak, which is related to praising and worshiping God or kneeling before God. Barak, B-A-R-K, but then it's spelled B-A-W-R-A-K, barak, to kneel before God as an act of adoration or praise. But the second part about that blessing, which is now blessing, is braka, B-R-A-K-A-H. Spelled pronounced B-E-R-A-W-K-A-W, which means good favor bestowed on another. Giving of a tangible gift or pronouncing a verbal blessing or God's favor upon the righteous. I want us to look at this second one. So when you talk about a blessing, you are talking about good favor bestowed upon somebody. So it's when we bestow good favor upon your life and say, may it be well with you. May things be well with you wherever you go. That's a blessing. You know, people of the world would say, good luck. They just don't, because they don't have power to bless. They've got power to wish luck. Haven't you heard people, when you're going for something, they say, oh, good luck. Huh? Yeah, it's because they don't have power to bless. So they can wish you good luck. So it means they are wishing that may it be well with you. But when somebody blesses you, they are bestowing upon you good favor. Giving, so it might be also when you say, I can say to somebody, I want to bless you when I'm giving somebody a gift, isn't it? So it says giving a tangible gift or pronouncing a verbal blessing. For me, I like this one of pronouncing that blessing. And that's what we do even with our children. We bless them. Amen. And Jacob, before he died, he was also going to bless the sons of Joseph. Because here, do you remember Jacob had 12 sons? And then Joseph was one of them. But because, okay, this is just a bit of Bible history for some of you who are scholars. You remember Jacob had 12 sons. So we were supposed to have 12 tribes of Israel. But because the Levites, so even in those days, they knew that there are people who are supposed to just be serving in the house of God. So the Levites were specially dedicated to do the work of the Lord. So the Levites did not even plow. They didn't even have the land. So when the children of Israel were going there to possess those lands, when they were going to possess lands in Canaan and all that, the Levites were not given a land, because the Lord said, they are my portion. So they get from when the others are working, because the Levites are serving in the house of God, in the altar of God, then the other tribes were supposed to take of their tithe and give it to the Lord, and then the Levites would eat from that. Now, if we do that, then the tribes are now 11 and not 12. You get that? Yeah, it's not part of the menu, but I'm just telling you, go commercial. So Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now listen. So we're going to take part of the blessing and see what the importance of the blessing. But I also want you to see now that ultimately the two sons of Joseph were brought in, which means now the tribe of Joseph was now like two people in it. So now when we name the tribes of Israel, they will name them being 12, but they would also have a tribe called Manasseh and Ephraim. Listen, going to the book of Genesis 48, 13 to 20. Okay, now, the one thing that is not part of this message, but I just want to also make you remember. You remember when Jacob was to be blessed? The father was old and could not see, isn't it? Now, he was going to bless. He was also old and he could not see. So, Joseph brought the two sons. Okay? It was Manasseh and Ephraim. Because Manasseh was the elder son. So Joseph took Manasseh on his left hand so that he could be on the right hand of the father was going to bestow a blessing. And took the younger one, Ephraim, by his right hand so that he could be on the left hand of the father. And when they came, the father could not see, but he did this. So, listen. Then Joseph took both boys, Ephraim with his right hand, toward Israel's left. In other words, toward Jacob's left. And Manasseh with his left hand, toward Israel's right hand. He brought them close to him. And Israel reached out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger. And his left hand on Manasseh, crossing his hands intentionally. For Manasseh was the firstborn. Did you see that? Then Jacob blessed Joseph and said, God himself, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac lived and walked habitually, God himself who has been my shepherd, has led me, has fed me from the time I came into being until this day. Now I want you to look at verse 16 as part of the blessing. He says, the redeeming angel, that is the angel, the redeemer, not a created being, but the Lord himself. So there are times in the Old Testament where we find the word saying the angel of the Lord, referring to the Lord himself. It says, may the redeeming angel, the redeemer, not a created being, but the Lord himself, who has redeemed me continually from every evil, bless these lads. So it's almost like even when I pronounce a blessing, whether it's to a baby or whatever, or I pronounce a blessing to you, I say, may my God who has favored me also favor you. Amen. So he says, may the angel of the Lord, may this Lord who has preserved me all these days, bless these lads. And let my name be perpetuated in them. You see now, he wants his name to be perpetuated in them. May they be worthy of having their names coupled with mine and the names of my fathers Abraham and Jacob, and let them become a multitude in the midst of the earth. When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on Ephraim's head, it displeased him, and he held up his father and moved it to the head of Manasseh. And Joseph said, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your right hand upon his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people and shall be great. But this younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day. Now listen. Say, by you shall Israel bless one another. I want you to look at this. Because people who are blessed, other people can bless them through the blessed people. So he says, I'm blessing you. But when I'm blessing you, may Israel bless themselves through you. By saying, may God make you like Ephraim and like Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. So in other words, in Israel, when people want to be blessed, they would say, may God bless you like Ephraim and like Manasseh. So now people are blessing themselves through these blessed people. So it means similarly, you can bless yourself through the people that you are associated with. You can bless yourself through the blessing of the Lord upon your pastor.
Amen.
So he says, because you are blessed, may people bless themselves through you. Actually, it's well spelled in Genesis chapter 12. Mr. MJ, let's go Genesis 12, 1, 2, 3, Amplified Classic. Now, because I need to connect this and make this real to you so that you can understand the importance of a blessing. And that when you are blessed, it's not only for you, but it's also for everyone who can associate themselves with you. That blessing will rub off. You remember the other time I was talking about blessing by association? Huh? Okay. When I speak something in the positive, I always want to give you also the reverse of it so that you can understand it better. How many of you would remember or know of people who were killed, not because they were the ones who were wrong, but they were in the bad company? So in other words, people were coming to kill the other ones, but because you were there, you were killed by association. So that's what we call a curse by association. So you were not the intended recipient of the killing act, but you got killed anyway. Why? You hanged around with the wrong group. So you think if you can be killed or you can be cursed by association, don't you think you can also be blessed by association?
Amen.
When you are standing there with the other people who are blessed and now blessings are coming,
amen,
don't you think they will also rub off on me?
Amen.
Amen. So you need to make sure that you stay close to the blessing. You can enjoy yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Genesis 12, 1 to 3, Mr. MJ, Amplified Classic.
Now, in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you.
Okay, now let's start from verse 2. Now, this is what we call a blessing. For me, if I can get the blessing as I have it, even if you say you won't give me that, you won't give me that, you won't give me that, I don't worry. I've got everything because I've got the blessing.
Amen.
So listen, verse 2.
And I will make of you a great nation.
Mm.
And I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. And make your name famous and distinguished. And you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. And I will bless those who bless you.
You see, that thing is coming back again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bless those who?
Bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Who confer prosperity or happiness upon you. And curse him who curses or uses insolent language toward you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed. And by you they will bless themselves.
This is similar to what we read with the sons of with Manasseh and Ephraim, isn't it? So it says, Abram, I'm blessing you. I'm going to empower you to succeed, empower you to succeed, to prosper. And I'm blessing you with favors. And when those favors are upon you, anybody who blesses you, they will benefit from that blessing that's upon your life. But because you are blessed, anybody who tries to curse you, they will be cursed because they cannot come against the blessing of the Lord. So some of you spend a lot of time thinking about, oh, this one is standing on my way, that one this, that one that, if it were not for that one. Why is it not, if it's not for my God, I won't be able to make it here. I need my God. Instead of thinking, if it's not that one, then I would not, that's why I'm not succeeding, that. You need to say, because of my God, because of his favor upon me, all will be well. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Because he's my God. Now, this is reiterated in, it's actually well spelled in Galatians chapter 3. Let's go Galatians 3, 7 to 14 NIV. And I like this blessing by association. You know that song, Abraham's blessings are mine. They are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. So you can only enjoy those blessings if you associate yourself with the blessed Abraham. If you look at, you remember the story of the Shunammite woman? She saw this man of God. She said, surely this is a man of God. Let's bless this man of God. Let's do something good for this man of God. Let's make a room for him and furnish it so that when he comes over to this place, he may go to that room. When she did that, she thought she was just blessing the man of God. And the man of God said, what can we do for her? They said, no, but she seems to be well off. She's got all the materials she needs. She's well connected. Then Gehazi said, but she does not have a son. She does not have a child. So, which means the blessing of the Lord is all encompassing. You know, when people sometimes on the world, when they talk about prosperity, they talk about driving a good car, a big car. But this person is suffering at home. This person is not enjoying life at home. There is no peace. Fights, fights, fights. You've got the big mansion, but you're not enjoying it because you are keeping on fighting. So when we talk about a blessing of the Lord is all encompassing. It touches every aspect of your life. Amen. So it means you're blessed not only by what we see you possessing, but you are blessed in every area of your life. So, Galatians 3, 7 to 14. NIV. Mr. MJ.
Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham.
Okay, so if you say they are mine, Abraham's blessings are mine, how do we associate with Abraham? By faith. It says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Continue.
Scripture foresaw that God will justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham.
I like it when God announces things in advance. Tell your neighbor, God announces things in advance. And those of us who live by faith, we know the end game, even when the game is still on. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, we know the end game, even when the game is still on. So it might appear like our team is losing 1-0, but we know we will win 3-2.
Amen.
Amen. So we're not worried because we know the end game. So it says God foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. Amen. So even when I'm telling you whatever I'm telling you in advance so that when you go out there and the enemy now challenges your faith, you already are ready.
Amen.
Things were announced to you in advance. He said to Abraham,
All nations will be blessed through you.
Okay. So why does God say all nations will be blessed through you? Why is he not just saying, I will bless all nations myself? He says, all nations will be blessed through you. I'm making you a conduit of blessing. So when we are blessed, we can also serve as the conduit of blessings.
Amen.
In other words, the Lord blesses me, but anything that's associated with me gets blessed. The other time I was thinking about, you know, that car, that our Benz. That car is more than 10 years old. But it always looked new because it's blessed. Then I was thinking, if cars would have a meeting, my Benz was going to say, but why did they create this thing? Because always my owner puts coins in it. And for you guys, what do your owners put? The other cars would say, no, that's an ashtray. You mean it's, you use it for coins? So, which just means even my car is blessed. So it actually is enjoying the blessing that's upon my life. So even when you have, whether it's your home or your children or anything associated with you, because of the blessing upon your life, they also enjoy from there. So God says, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the work of the law are under a curse, as it is written. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the law. It says, the person who does these things will live by them. Now, I want you to look closely at verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. Now, I want to bring something, even if it's not part of this message, but I need to clear this. How many of you have ever heard people saying, we are going to be breaking the curses on Christians? We come to church now and say, I want to break a curse. I want to break curses. When you accepted Christ, Christ has redeemed you from the curse. Yeah. Amen.
Amen?
Yeah, it may be if you now go. You are free indeed.
Amen.
So verse 14 says, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. So what has come to me? A curse or a blessing? Jesus has redeemed me so that the blessing would come to me, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So I'm blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
If you ask me how I am, I'm blessed and highly favored. Even the people that I work with, they know that. I'm blessed and highly favored. When you ask, saying, ah, what can we do? Life is tough. That's your confession. It's not mine. My confession is I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. No wonder I live a blessed life. Because I'm a prophet of my own destiny.
Amen.
Some of you are waiting for others to prophesy on you. Prophesy. Prophesy, men of God. Prophesy yourself.
Amen.
Prophesy your future. Speak things in your life.
Amen.
Amen. You need to say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Father, I thank you for your blessing upon my life.
Amen.
I thank you even for my association with our pastor who is blessed. And I bless myself even through him.
Yes.
Amen. The blessings of Abraham come to us who are Gentiles by faith. So he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might do what? Might come to the Gentiles through Christ. So it means I can actually enjoy the same blessing that Abraham had here on the earth. That's why we're talking about living a blessed life on earth. And that's why even when we do baby dedication, we are not just passing another item. It's something very serious. Because now you're empowering these little ones to be mighty upon the earth.
Amen.
Amen? To have the favor of God upon their lives. If you go to the book of Numbers, so this is the part I want also to clear. Okay? I need to clear this one. Because sometimes people think maybe I'm not caring for them much. When, if somebody comes to me and is a Christian and says, Pastor, they are bewitching me. I have a problem with that. Why? Because you are blessed. And the ones who are bewitching you, they are using the works of the enemy. And you are with God. So when a blessing is upon your life, curses cannot penetrate you. Because you are blessed. I'll give you this example. Go with me to these Numbers because I'm giving you a practical example. So there was this king called King Balak. So when the children of Israel were moving from Egypt to the promised land, so they were going through many countries, many lands, and overcoming. Wherever they went, they were overcoming. Now, when they were to come to the country of Moab, you know, you remember the Moabite. Who was a well-known Moabite? Ruth. Amen. So when they came to Moab, the king of Moab, at that time, Balak, he thought, ish, these people are too strong. We cannot overcome them unless they are cursed. And we know there is somebody who has powers to curse and to bless, and his name is called Balaam. So he went and get Balaam called so that he may curse the Israelites, so that the Israelites may be weakened. You see that even the enemy knows the power that you have. Sometimes the enemy even knows you are well covered more than you do yourself. I don't know if the Israelites knew what Balak was doing. Because Balak, already knowing what the Israelites would be doing, knowing that they are blessed, he was now looking for a way to get them cursed. so that they can be overcome. So when you are blessed, you are an overcomer.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, when you are blessed, you are an overcomer. I am an overcomer in Christ. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So Numbers 23, 20 to 25. He says, it was Balaam now. Because Balaam, when he was called to come and curse the Israelites, actually Balak promised him a lot of things. He said, I will give you whatever you want. I can make you very rich. Just curse them for me. You see, again, the power of a curse or a blessing. He was not going to do something in the natural, only something in the spiritual realm. Pronounce a curse upon them and they will be cursed. Pronounce a blessing upon them and they will be blessed. He says, I've been instructed to bless. It was when Balak was surprised. Why are you keeping on blessing them when I called you to curse them, not to bless them? He says, I've been instructed to bless. I'm doing it in the Good News Translation. And when God blesses, what happens when God blesses? I cannot call it back. Other version says, I cannot reverse it. Tell your neighbor, I'm blessed. No one can reverse this blessing upon my life. Speak it, because when you don't speak it, you will stay with a curse. That's why you will be breaking curses in church. Because you don't pronounce a blessing upon your life. So I said, we need to say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
No one can reverse the blessing upon my life. Now he starts prophesying. He says, I foresee that Israel's future will bring her no misfortune or trouble. That's the same thing for me who's blessed. My future will bring me, let's say together,
my future
will bring me
no
misfortune or trouble. Yes, I'm speaking this word. That's what he was saying. So Balaam was saying, I see this, because these people are blessed. No misfortune or trouble will befall them. The Lord their God is with them.
Amen.
Because I'm blessed. The Lord my God is with me. So that's why I'm not even afraid of those witchcraft people. Because the Lord my God is with me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
They proclaim that he is their king.
Mm.
Do you proclaim that he is your king?
Amen.
Can we say he is our king?
He is our king.
Our God is on the throne.
Amen.
God has brought them out of Egypt. He does what? He fights for them. Can we say the Lord fights for me? Some of the battles I don't need to fight. He fights my battles.
Amen.
You know, in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, the battle is the Lord's. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
So people who are not blessed, unfortunately, they keep on fighting their own battles. We who are blessed, we stand still and see the Lord fighting for us.
Amen.
Amen. So he says he fights for them like a wild ox. Now, verse 23. Because some of you think that witchcraft is your heritage as Africans. It says, there is no magic charm, no witchcraft that can be used against the nation of Israel. Did you see that? Is that biblical? There is no magic charm. There is no what? No witchcraft. It's in the Bible. That can be used against the nation of Israel. Why? Because they are blessed.
Amen.
So can we say, I'm unbewitchable?
I'm unbewitchable.
Yes. I'm uncursable. Whether that's the right English word or not, we are Africans.
Amen.
Amen. You know what I mean when I say I'm unbewitchable. Because it says no witchcraft can be used against me. Why? Because I'm blessed.
Amen.
A blessing is always stronger than a curse.
Yes.
It's like light and darkness. You know darkness and light, which one is stronger? Light. Why? Because even if it's dark, if I switch on the light, darkness goes. So similarly, a blessing is stronger than a curse. So if I'm blessed, You can do whatever you want. You cannot curse me. Because the blessing of the Lord is upon my life. I am blessed. I'm highly favored. Now people will say about Israel, look what God has done. Don't you think it would be good when people look at you and say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. The nation of Israel is like a mighty lion. It doesn't rest until it has torn and devoured. It has drunk the blood of those it has killed. Then Balak said to Balaam, you refuse to curse the people of Israel, but at least don't bless them. I've called you to curse them, but now you are blessing them. Don't bless them. Because when you bless them, you are even strengthening them more and more. So you see the importance of a blessing. Okay. Now, let me take this one portion of scripture and then I'm going to call the mother and child who needs to be blessed and the father. They will come to the fore. But I want to first just finish this part about a blessing so that you can understand it. That the blessing of the Lord is all encompassing. Okay? Because some of you, you measure people's blessing by seeing what they possess. And all of a sudden you hear that person actually was not enjoying life. They were actually on depressants and all that, and they've even committed suicide. But you thought they had all the monies. You could see what they have. So it means it's because it's not all encompassing. But when I have the blessing of the Lord, it's all encompassing. I want us to prove this in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read in the Message translation. Ephesians chapter 1. From verse 3 to 23 in the Message translation. I'm going to take it and show you things. And when you feel it's a hallelujah point, say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I like a church that says hallelujah. Amen. When you feel blessed, you need to say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The fact that your pastor doesn't shout, doesn't mean you must stop to say hallelujah. You can still say hallelujah. I heard this story as you're going to Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 23. They say there was this young boy. This is just going commercial. It's not scriptural. It's not, I don't even think it was a true story, but it makes sense. There was this young boy. He was invited by his auntie to church. And then the pastor would be preaching. This boy would always be saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. So it was like almost the boys disturbing the church. So the auntie, when she went home with him, she said, I want to go with you to church, but I don't like your hallelujahs. Can you make a promise that if you go to church, you will not make those funny hallelujahs of yours? Hallelujah. You won't make those funny hallelujahs of yours? And I'll buy you boots. So it's a promise. Now they said it was a deal. So now they went to church. The pastor was preaching. As the pastor was continuing, this boy would think, oh, and then he thinks of boots, he stops. The pastor would come another thing again, oh, and then he stops because he thinks of boots. Until he said, boots or no boots, praise the Lord. Amen. So sometimes, I mean, people can put a lot of things on you and you owe them, but boots or no boots, praise the Lord. And that's why when you read this Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3 to 23, you will have a lot of hallelujah points. And that's the word of God. Message translation, Ephesians 1, 3 to 23. How blessed is God and what a blessing he is. He is the father of our master, Jesus Christ, who takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Amen. That's an amen point. Amen. He takes me to the high places of blessing in him. Amen. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Hallelujah. That's a hallelujah point. Amen. Had settled on us as the focus of his love.
Amen.
Amen. To be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Christ Jesus. What a pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift, giving by the hand of his beloved son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are free. Free of all penalties and punishment. Amen. We are free. I told you, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. No curse to be broken. You are already free. Free of all penalties and punishment, choked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either. Abundantly free. He thought of everything. Provided for everything we could possibly need. That's another hallelujah point. Because if he thought of everything and he provided for everything that I could ever need, it means I'm sorted in him because of his blessing upon me. Letting us in on the plans he took such a delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ. He tells us in advance. A long-range plan in which everything will be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in the deepest heaven, everything on the planet Earth, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Amen. That's why life is worth a living. Because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. So he says, in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up. You know, when you hear about Christ, you need to get your hopes up. Amen. You've heard the good news. Amen. He had his eyes on us. Had designs on us for glorious living. So he was architecturing things for me for a glorious living. Amen. Part of the overall purpose is working out in everything and everyone. It is in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This signet from God is the first installment on what is coming. So when God gave me Christ, he was saying, this is just the first installment on what more to come. Amen. There's still much more that's coming. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, if he could not deny us his son, how much more will he give us everything else in him? Amen. 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 This signet from God is the first installment on what is coming. A reminder that we will get everything God has planned for us. Amen. A praising and a glorious life. Amen. That's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring love to all the followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I think of you and give thanks. Amen. But I do more than thank. I also ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Amen. Your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Amen. So it seems, Mr. MJ, they use the word immensity. Okay. This immensity of this glorious way of life. So it means I'm not called for a mediocre life. I'm called for this glorious way of life in Christ. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. All these energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven. In charge of running the universe. Who is in charge? Jesus is in charge. Can we all say, Jesus is in charge?
Jesus is in charge.
So even though the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy, the devil does not have a final say.
Amen.
Jesus is in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to government. No name and no power is exempted from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever.
Amen.
He is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. That's an amen point. Amen. Don't you like it that in whatever you might be going through, it's not over until he speaks. He's got the final word on everything. So the devil is not allowed to have the final word in your life. So when you are still down and out, it's not over yet. Because the Lord has got the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fulfills everything with his presence. Don't you like that? There's a lot of amen points here. I get excited when I see what God thinks about his created people, about his chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, chosen generation. The problem is that we are hearing a lot of what people say about us than what God says about us. What counts most is what my master, the creator of the heavens and the earth, says about me. It doesn't matter much what they say, it matters much what he says. Amen? So if he says he's got the final word on everything, if he says I'm destined for greatness, if he says he will satisfy me with long life, if he says I can walk in divine health, if he says I can enjoy his peace on the earth, everything that he says, everything that pertains to life and to godliness, God has given me. I take that. Amen.